Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And I'm Samantha B.
Samantha B! She's here. Oh. She is subbing in. I am so grateful.
Oh, I'm grateful. I am so excited to be here. I can't even tell you.
Sam, it's the unofficial start to summer.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to?
You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to swimming in some cold American ocean beach water. I'm looking forward to like blueberry pie and being and having my feet frozen in the Atlantic Ocean.
I can't get enough of that. Oh. I'm excited for fruit.
Yes.
I'm excited for fruit. It's my favorite thing because, you know, I love to make jam. How are your bees doing? Oh,
I love your jam. My bees are thriving. They're living their best lives because they've been making honey now for so long. The supers, like the big honey boxes, it's just stacking up. They're just like, do we keep making honey? We don't even need all of this. Why don't you take some? They're inviting me to take it.
Well, I can't wait to get some at the end of the summer. I better be on the list.
You are a top of my list because you understand. You're in agriculture.
We're in it.
We are. And I love it.
So, Erin just left for maternity leave and we're already missing her. But we do have a fun summer ahead of us with exciting co-hosts like the Sam B here. This week, we took out some Trump trash, got into more abortion jiggery pokery, and I talked to Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin on what she's up to in Michigan. Okay, so now let's get to the show. Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast for people who say they won't watch Trump's TikTok, but definitely will. Will you?
No, I can't. I actually can't. I love that. I love that you say that, but I actually can't because I get like a fever. I have like, I get, we'll go into like a perimenopausal sweat when I hear his voice. When I heard his voice talking about that judge and he was like, he looks like a little angel, but he's a devil. I get a right under the boobs, behind the knees. It goes through my body like a horrible hot flash, and it results in, it's just fever blisters. I can't do it. It makes my skin crawl.
Okay. I'm personally afraid to do it because I don't want my algorithm messed up right now.
No.
Right now it's cooking.
Yeah.
It's cats, you know, and Gen X videos, which I think are so funny.
They're so funny. I like opossums. I like cats. I want to see a baby elephant. I don't want to see that horrible man.
Speaking of that horrible man, yes. Sam, the Trump verdict came down after we finished recording last week. And I've got to believe Hysteria listeners want to know what we think.
Okay.
As everyone knows by now, Trump was convicted on 34 of 34 counts last Thursday in New York by a jury of his peers. He was convicted of falsifying business records in an attempt to cover up a hush money payment of $130,000 to Stormy Daniels during the 2016 election. The most important thing I can't believe is true in America is that conviction and even imprisonment will not bar Trump from continuing his plight to become president again. Sam, how'd you feel? How'd you feel last week?
You know, okay. Well, I mean, the whole thing obviously is awful, whatever. But when I heard the verdict, it was a pleasant surprise.
Right. Agree.
I definitely was like a nice little like, ooh, like a little a frisson, you know, like a, just like opening up a bubbly water and having that first sip. Just a delight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, knowing that the outcome will not be great and it's not like great news or anything, and it doesn't really affect our chances of being in total chaos for the next foreseeable future. But it was just a nice little hiccup, like a nice little bubble up of joy.
Michael Cohen played a big role in all of this. And I can't, where do we come down on him? Is he a hero or is he a dope?
Oh, he is not a hero.
No, right?
He's a dope. I mean, that guy is just, he is a fair weather friend and a fair weather enemy. He just goes as the wind blows.
Yeah.
You know, if Trump had just paid his legal bill, we would not be doing this.
No.
So I hope nobody's jumping on the hero bandwagon. Let's not get hasty here.
I agree. Have you seen the past couple of days? Mm-hmm. I guess it was earlier this week. Trump is now walking back the idea that he was loving the lock her up chance about Hillary.
Yes.
He's kind of like, actually people at my rallies would chant them. Mm-hmm. And I like wanted to tamp them down, but like basically didn't want to like harsh their chill. And why do you think he's suddenly walking away from that?
This is why I can't watch the TikToks, because my whole body just seized. He literally said she should be in jail on stage with her. He stood beside her and said
he
it.
He did.
And
he creeped up.
He creeped up. He lurched right behind her and said it. And it causes like a dissociation in my body to hear him say, like, it wasn't really me. It was my fans who were saying lock her up. And there is just so much video footage of it that it's not even, but it's pointless to even point it out because no one cares about it.
Because it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
But it goes to the point that he'll deny
anything.
Like he lives in an alternate universe.
He is the literal embodiment of that Shaggy song, It Wasn't Me. And it just keeps playing out every day of my life, which was such a funny and absurd song when it came out so, so long ago. And we were just living it.
That song was 20 years ago?
Yes. And we just lived it.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. Amazing.
So ever since the verdict, Republicans are losing their shit. They are mm-hmm. not okay. First, we had Mike Johnson. He went running to Mommy and Daddy, aka SCOTUS, mm-hmm. for help. The Speaker of the House appeared on Fox and Friends and said that SCOTUS should, quote, step in after Trump's guilty verdict, adding, quote, I do believe the Supreme Court should step in. I think they'll set this straight, but it's going to take a while. I know many of them personally. I think they're deeply concerned about faith in the U.S. justice system. Sounds very legal, very ethical. Mm-hmm. Sam, what were some of your favorite bratty GOP responses, because they were aplenty.
They were aplenty. That was just a gift basket of so much bullshit. Just a cornucopia of like, it's a dark day. It's a dark day in America. Prayers for the Republic. Like, what? Are we pretending that we are dignified here? I did not appreciate Susan Collins's response.
Oh, what did Susan say? I missed her.
Oh, Susan, I'm obviously paraphrasing here, but Susan was like, well, I don't even think there was it was like a Alvin Bragg with a vendetta, and I don't even see any evidence of a crime being committed. She just was in denial of the whole. And I want to say that we named our cat Susan Collins because we thought it was really funny to call a cat over and be like, Susan Collins, get over here. And I don't know if I can't live with it.
I feel like that was not nice.
Susan Collins, bad girl.
Susan Collins, you...
Collins, how dare you?
But then how can you love on Susan Collins? How can you call Susan Collins to come sit on your lap?
When I love her, she's a Susie. And when I'm angry with her, she's a Susan Collins. And Tommy Tuberville, too, was just like, we are at war. The liberals, the Democrats are coming for our voting rights and our health care. And he has a real piece of work.
He is not the smartest. He may be the dumbest in the U.S.
He may be the dumbest. When I had Full Frontal, we made cups. We made coffee mugs that said rigged on them. And I can't find my rigged coffee cup. And I should be drinking from it right now.
You should. Well, see, I'm drinking from 'Tis the Season to be Petty. Because it is the season
to
be petty.
Always.
I think my favorite GOP response was the one where they banded together and were like, we're going to send a sassy letter to the White House saying that we will not cooperate in the Senate because of the guilty verdict. But the language, I have to read some excerpts. Mike Lee, another one of America's finest. Quote, as a Senate Republican conference, we are unwilling to aid and abet this White House in its project to tear this country apart. Just,
I have to fan myself. The outrage is so real.
Quote, strongly worded statements are not enough. Those who turned our judicial system into a political cudgel must be held accountable. We are no longer cooperating with any Democrat legislative priorities or nominations, and we invite all concerned senators to join our stand. That was also Lee on X/Twitter. I'm sorry. Are you under the impression you had been cooperating with anything up to this point anyway?
You little rascals. Like have the amount of just pearl clutching and just like fainting, like reclining on a heavens to Murgatroyd, the system. Oh, I shall die over here. Let me wilt.
Do you know what makes me so stressed? Because I really don't know. Like the world's just not on the level right now,
it's
right?
Not.
So like these guys are all just getting all twisted up about this. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, most Democrats are like, hey, Bob Menendez, you can just put your sneakers on and keep going.
Because
I just think that is it like, will we ever win? And by we, I mean Democrats. Mm-hmm. If we're the people who are like honest and on the level and we're like, because there was that other, the representative from Texas who was accused of like embezzling $600,000 with his wife. Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, get the fuck out of here.
I know. No, you know what? We do expect accountability. We do expect accountability. And it really hinders us electorally.
It does hinder us because yeah. It's like, it took Republicans getting, it took George Santos literally had to be like the Tinder swindler before they would get rid of him.
And a lot of them didn't even want to get rid of him. They were like
we shouldn't
fine.
Do
we
this.
We shouldn't do it. It sends a bad message. We should keep this creep.
Okay, so here we go. There's more. Mm-hmm. There's more. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the flags. There are more flags.
I love talking
about
flags.
Because the Republicans can't get away from flags. Chief Justice Roberts, it was reported, will not meet with Democratic lawmakers who wanted to discuss the flags waving outside of Justice Alito's homes. He said, quote, separation of powers concerns and the importance of preserving judicial independence counsel against such appearances. Nice excuse, dude. Alito, as a reminder, blamed his wife,
of course,
for raising one, an upside down American flag at their home in Virginia, and two, the appeal to heaven flag at their home in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So, Sam,
yeah.
Do you think that Justice Roberts realizes he is, by not dealing with these ethics issues, the one not preserving judicial independence?
Well, you know, one word really comes to mind when I think about him, and that word is feckless. Because...
Oh, you went there.
I did. You know what I mean? I can't at all figure out what his lines are. Does he have like a single line anywhere that can't be crossed? I mean, what to him actually constitutes unethical behavior? Please, somebody tell me. Somebody tell me.
I mean, he has let Clarence Thomas and his wife go fly fishing, funded by every mega donor on the Republican side you can imagine.
Yeah.
Literally, I think Harlan Crow sent his nephew to school. And at what point, I mean, Sam, when I was in the White House, I think it was either $15 or $25. Mm-hmm. You could not accept anything above that in a year.
Right.
So if you wanted to buy me 3 cups of coffee, that would probably not have been possible ethics standards. So how our Supreme Court justices have nothing. There are no boundaries.
No boundaries whatsoever. And you just get to have it for a lifetime and just forever. No boundaries ever.
And you know the thing that just really bugs me about Republicans? Mm. It's the hypocrisy in all of it, especially John Roberts, Justice Alito, because Sam, they're so obsessed with the flag. Like they're so obsessed. They've been obsessed for years. Don't burn the flag, protect the flag.
Oh.
Yet they adhere to none. There's like an actual flag code from 1923.
Yeah.
They adhere to none of it. Like flying the flag upside down was a sign used by sailors to signal major distress.
Major distress. I want to tell you that when I had a show, anytime we represented the flag, we had the rule book. We went through it. We were like, okay,
of course.
It's on, if you're doing it and there's a podium, it has to be in a certain position. We were so careful and dedicated to representing it properly for the, you know, it's an important symbol for lots of people and you just don't want to get all up in the flag people. Meanwhile, the flag people are like, can I put it on a beer koozie? And also it's my toilet paper. I rub 100%. Myself with it at the beach and we were flying it upside down all over the place. I'm like, you guys would have, I would have gotten one.
Flying it upside down, what? Hanging it from trucks where it touches the ground. How come you and I know more about flag etiquette than these people who literally are trying to like roll themselves up like pigs in a blanket in the flag?
You're just like having it printed on truck nuts and hanging them off your truck. And that's okay because it's honoring. Anyways, I give up.
We give up. And you know what? Mm. There's more news. There's more news. Mm-hmm. We got to talk about abortion.
We do.
So in some good news, Senators Mazie Hirono, Ed Markey, and Tammy Duckworth, they are the co-sponsors of the Right to Contraception Act. Senate Bill 1999, which feels very on the nose because I feel like we are back in 1999, which would guarantee the legal right for individuals to get and use contraception and would also prohibit the federal government or any state from administering or enforcing any law or regulation to prohibit the sale or use of contraception. So Sam, we record on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The vote is expected today. And since we are in June, this is also the 2-year anniversary of Roe being overturned.
Oh, let's celebrate.
Yay. So they're voting on that, which is good. But here is the crazy thing. In anticipation of the vote, earlier this week, the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, so help us God, they had the head of the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, Christina Francis, an absolute right-wing quack, testify. She said that, quote, chemical abortions are, quote, dangerous, high-risk drugs, and couldn't say, simple yes or no, Patty Murray gave her multiple chances. She couldn't say that women should have access to Plan B, IUDs, or birth control. Now, as a reminder, mifepristone is considered as safe or safer than common low-risk prescription drugs like penicillin and Viagra. So according to Jess Valenti, who we love, her Substack, Abortion Every Day, Francis also believes a sundry list of harmful nonsense like children should be forced to give birth and abortion is never necessary to save a woman's life. She's also a physician member of the Abortion Pill Reversal Network. So Sam, here's my question for you. How is Dr. Francis actually a doctor with those beliefs?
That's such a great question. And my answer is, I don't know. But I know that I would not feel safe in her care as a physician at all. Can you imagine? Imagine going to her with an ectopic pregnancy and her just talking about the sanctity of the life.
Of her being like, I'm going to give you Pepto-Bismol.
Let's just see what happens with this one, though, right? I feel like the subtext of every conversation we've had so far is, why aren't there more rules? Like, why aren't there more rules?
Standards?
Standards. Just kind of like if you're in science school to become a doctor, shouldn't we just like all agree on some very important principles? I don't get it.
Sam, here's a personal question. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. Yeah. Have you ever been on birth control?
Oh, yes, I certainly have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Me too. And I remember getting it being like super easy. Birth control has never crossed my mind. Mm. And yet in 2024, there's legislation.
Legislation to protect birth control?
Birth control.
This is just a throwback Thursday.
just kind of is.
I was born in 1969. So when was I using birth? Like 80s?
Yeah.
And it was just a non-issue, an absolute non-starter. I feel like the whole world was like, yeah, don't get pregnant if you don't want to. This is the way to do it. I appreciated that they put up a 20-foot blow-up IUD outside Union Station in D.C.
Did they really?
They did it so cute.
Wait, Sam, but here's the thing. Of all the things on this planet, that's what they spent money on?
Yeah, there's better ways to spend your money. I'm not going to deny that, but I did like that they did it. And I wonder how many gents passed by that blow up thing and went, oh, I like that T. What's that T stand for?
Or they're like, it's an upside down anchor.
I'm a sailor too. I like it. Is it Fleet Week?
they would know how to use the flag properly.
They would.
And if we ever needed another reminder why we cannot let Trump and the Republicans win in November, look no further than Texas. Mm. As usual, last week, the state Supreme Court ruled this is, and the thing, Sam, that's so complicated about all this is that you have to read everything they do word for word,
right?
Because it's such word salad that you can't actually mm-hmm. comprehend it. Mm-hmm. Okay. The state will proceed with a ban on performing abortions, even when the pregnant person faces serious complications. This case does not seek to overturn the abortion ban, but to clarify the terms of the ban states that physicians will have to wait until the person is practically on the verge of death to perform an abortion. In other words, a condition that could easily be preventable will have to reach its max horribleness for a doctor to legally do anything about it. Now, this is not the doctor's fault. Like the way that everything is written, it sounds like the doctors are just sitting there waiting for people to die. That is actually kind of true, but also because they will be sued and could like lose their licenses mm-hmm. if they do use what they believe to be their good judgment that they have gleaned over years of medical school. Even in cases where the fetus is unlikely to survive, the law dictates that doctors are not allowed to give that person an abortion. However, the court did clarify that abortions are allowed for patients with, quote, preterm premature rupture of membranes.
Mm-hmm. Imagine being a doctor there. Imagine being a doctor.
No, why would you
why
be?
Why would you be? I mean, just in terms of like risk management, personal risk management, it's an impossible mission.
It's totally thankless.
Thankless.
It's hero work.
Yeah.
It's hero
it
work.
Is.
So I personally am a little concerned. Trump trial is sucking up so much oxygen.
Sure.
It's like they had a countdown this morning. One of the Boeing NASA rockets was going into air mm-hmm. and there was a countdown clock.
Okay.
And I didn't know if it was that or like the countdown clock. I was like, oh, wait, no, the trial's over. So that's not the jury countdown clock. Like, do you worry that the Trump trials and all of the mishigas surrounding them are going to overshadow all the truly terrible things that are happening?
I don't, actually. I don't know why I don't worry. Maybe perhaps I should worry about that more. But I do think that it's such a critical issue. And I do think that we're pretty focused on just moving that ball forward. I mean, we got a 20-foot IUD outside. Like, everybody's... No, but I mean, I do think that people are going to move that. I think it's going to move. It's going to move. It's going to stay on people's minds.
Right.
And I do hope that it gets brought up a lot in the next
six months. Make sure. That's why we're going to do nothing but talk about it until then.
It can't ever leave. It can't ever leave the conversation. It truly can't.
Have you heard what is happening at the University of Texas in Austin?
Oh, boy. Are you talking about the two professors?
Sam, tell me.
Okay. What's happening at UT right now, in addition to everything else, two professors at UT at Austin have co-signed a legal complaint that looks like it's intended to punish students and teaching assistants who have taken time off to go have an abortion. The amended legal complaint, it was first filed by none other than Texas AG Ken Paxton.
The gift that keeps giving.
The gift that keeps on giving. And for those who are interested, go check out this fucking guy on YouTube for the full breakdown and the alt-right org American First Legal. These two professors, and by the way, one's a philosophy professor and one's a business professor. So this
get
is really,
get
the
here.
Fuck out of here. It's nobody's business. These two professors want the right to fail students who miss class to go have an abortion. They believe that they should have the right to do so because pregnancy is a result of voluntary and consensual sexual intercourse. And I want to say, please, fuck off.
What? Like, first of all, how on earth would your philosophy professor know if you didn't show up to class because you had an abortion or because you got hung over the night before at the bar?
Yeah, I believe that it's a HIPAA violation for a professor to say, excuse me, why did you miss my lecture on Immanuel Kant? Where were you? Where the hell were you? oh, sir, I was having my abortion. Like, it's a conversation that's never, ever going to happen. This is
ever.
No.
It's like, why this, but it goes to the point, like, why are people just wasting their time on this? Like, do these guys, like, I read this and I'm like, they're going to run for Congress
someday.
They're
going to run for Congress. They're trying to get their bona fides in some weird way. They're just like, how can I be dramatic today? How can I insert myself into this conversation and be some weirdo's hero? It is so weird.
It's so weird.
Shouldn't you be teaching a class?
But also, if you're a student at UT Texas and you have two brain cells to rub together and independent thought, mm-hmm. why would you ever take their classes?
Why would you ever, ever take their classes? Why would you ever take their classes? You wouldn't. The answer is that you wouldn't.
You wouldn't, and you shouldn't.
No.
But we do have some good news. Mm-hmm. We have a little toast.
Yes.
A toast to Mexico. Sam, Claudia Sheinbaum, known as La Doctora, was elected Mexico's first female and Jewish president. Sheinbaum has an insane resume. She is a physicist with a doctorate in energy engineering. She's the former mayor of Mexico City and was part of the United Nations panel on climate scientists that received a Nobel Peace Prize.
Whatever.
What?
Whatever.
What? She won in a landslide, getting around 60% of the vote, getting the highest vote percentage in Mexico's history. My question for you is, will North Korea have a female leader before we do?
Oh, so easy. Yes, of course. Of course they will.
But you know, the funniest thing about this, do you know what the dry law is?
Oh, well, you know what? I didn't know what the dry law is, but now I do know what the dry law is. Okay, so Mexican elections are sober, kind of. Okay, so,
guess so.
I'll read you a little background here. Okay, the General Law of Electoral Institutions and Procedures in its Article 300 provides that the hours of sale of alcoholic beverages may be restricted the day before the election and the day of the election. What? I love it so much.
I love it.
I love it.
They're taking it seriously.
Take it seriously. The objective, of course, of the law is to guarantee an environment of safety, security, and order during elections. I think this is such a good idea.
I think it's a good idea. I think we should have it here in America. Some people need to take voting a little more seriously.
But honestly, in America, if you talk about drinking and not being able to drink, the crowd goes wild.
Maybe they'll pay more attention.
Maybe. I would love that if they did.
Okay, we need to take a break. But when we're back, my interview with Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Brian Tyler Cohen, host of the No Lie podcast, which is part of Crooked Media. You've likely seen my videos online or watched me torture Tommy Vitor as part of our series on YouTube. But this week, I've got a really exciting episode. I'm interviewing the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. So if you want to tune in and hear what he's got to say, including a definitive answer as to whether or not aliens are real, make sure to listen by searching for No Lie with Brian Tyler Cohen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast for anyone who watched Homeland all the way through and was curious about what it's really like to work in the CIA. Our guest today is a congresswoman from Michigan. She's running for Senate this year against former Representative Mike Rogers, an anti-abortion idiot who has been endorsed by Trump. Representative Alyssa Blair Slotkin, welcome to Hysteria. And yes, I'm using your middle name because we are two Alyssas born in 1976. And to us, Blair means Blair Warner from The Facts of Life, not Blair from Gossip Girl.
It's true. And if you want to hear an amazing story of why that's my middle name, sorry, this is a tangent.
Need it.
My mother, who died many years ago now, really believed in her heart of hearts that my destiny was to be a Broadway actress.
No.
And musical theater was her dream. And she thought Alyssa Slotkin was not a good stage name. So she just did me the favor of giving me Blair as my middle name and figured later on in life I could just shorten my name to Alyssa Blair, which would be a nice, like, homogenous Broadway stage name.
That is a great Broadway stage name. Do you know that my mom named me Alyssa because her favorite camper was a woman named Alyssa Berger, and when she was a camp counselor. So we both have colorful stories behind our names.
Our moms had personality.
Yeah. You know what? And therefore we have personality.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So the ladies of 1976 are taking it over today. Alyssa, when you finished graduate school with your master's in international affairs, you were recruited by the CIA. Now, I find this fascinating because what does that mean? Are they stalking you in college? How do you get recruited?
Yeah. Well, look, I moved to New York for graduate school and my second day of school was 9/11.
Oh, shit.
So the story is deeply connected to me being what's called a 9/11 baby, like just was doing international affairs and interested in that, of course, but then basically taking a turn into national security. And the CIA, like a lot of other government agencies at that time after 9/11, realized that they were short on people who understood the Middle East, on a whole bunch of things. And they came up to do a recruiting event at school. And my favorite professor basically sent me an email and said, the CIA is coming up. They're doing a small lunch with students. I think you should go. And I've recommended that you go. And I didn't want to offend him. So I ran home, put on my only suit, met with the folks there. And they were a bunch of analysts and operators. And what struck me, because I was thinking, I'm not going to join the CIA. I thought maybe I'll join the Foreign Service or something else, Department of Defense. They were very frank about, they felt their job was to speak truth to power. And even if they didn't agree with the president, they could say that. They could be open about that. It surprised me. So then I put in an application. I got accepted and then started the 9-month security vetting process, you know, polygraph and FBI background search. So it's quite a process. It's shortened now, but it's quite a process. But that is technically how the recruitment happened.
Oh, okay. So it's not as creepy as I thought it was.
No, it's not like someone coming up to you at a restaurant and just sort of, you know, knowing your whole life story. No, that is a little bit like the movies, not like real life.
All right. Well, you spent several years in public service at the CIA and Department of Defense in largely kind of apolitical roles.
Totally. Yeah.
And in 2017, you decided to run for Congress in Michigan, then Michigan's 8th district, becoming the first Democrat to represent your district in almost 20 years. How hard was it to make the jump into politics?
It was very, very different. It remains culturally slightly uncomfortable for me as someone who was, 16, 17 years in national security, CIA, White House, Pentagon, and under two different presidents, Democrat and Republican, right? So, you know, in national security world, you don't, it's taboo to ask someone how they vote or mm-hmm. how, you know, what political affiliation they have. And frankly, I think that if a more traditional Republican had won over Hillary Clinton, you know, like a Romney or a, you know, Jeb Bush or something, then I don't think I would have run. I just think the tone yeah. and tenor of our politics was just so different around that 2016 election. And then when Trump won, that I said, what is going on here? And how do I get involved in basically the loyal opposition? It was a very weird transition. You go from a place where you don't put anything out publicly, right? I mean, I think I had posted on Facebook twice in my life before I said, you know what, I'm thinking about running for office. People thought I got hacked. Oh, you know, they just didn't believe it.
Right.
So now suddenly you're trying to get people to talk to you and you're trying to be a public figure. You know, in national security, people are pretty serious. And in politics, there's some who are serious and some who are really not serious, who are right. there for the, you know, Twitter star kind of stuff. And fundraising was completely new. I had never asked anyone for money for anything. And suddenly they're telling you, you got to, you know, raise money for a campaign. And I think the biggest thing was there are definitely elected officials who are mission focused, who understand when they wake up in the morning, but there's a lot who are not, who are there for their personal brand, their personal gain, the notoriety. And gosh, at the Pentagon and the CIA, I can think of less than 5 people in my whole 16, you know, plus years who I think were there for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, even if right. you didn't like them, they were there for the right reasons.
Yep.
So that is, and frankly, still remains really difficult for me culturally.
Since that district had been held by a Republican for so long, what do you think your appeal was in a red district? And what surprised you most when campaigning?
Well, I think the best thing was that I had never done it before.
Right.
And so I had to sort of figure it out and make it up. And I wasn't constrained by kind of traditional ways of campaigning. So in that district, you can't win on Democrats alone. So yeah. I was going into communities that had not seen a Democrat show up in 40 years. Mm. And we would knock on doors. And one of the first surprising things, because, you know, you got to be willing to go to a place where people really don't like you and they don't like your party and they're not happy always with, you know, what's going on. But we noticed really quickly that we'd knock on doors and the women in particular would do the what we call the pull and step, which is pull the door shut, step down the stoop, get out of earshot of her husband, her kids,
yeah.
and whisper like, I'm the only open-minded person or I'm the only Democratic-leaning person in this whole community. And we'd say, that's what the woman 5 doors down just told us, that kind of quietly, almost in the closet, people, especially women, were willing to vote differently, but they didn't need to broadcast that. They didn't need to, you know, come to a rally or anything. And those women helped elect me year after year in 3 tough elections. So that to me was very essential. And I make a habit of what I say, quote unquote, losing better in red areas. Instead of losing with 36% of the vote like a normal Democrat, we'll go and try and lose with 42% of the vote so that we can win in a tough district.
See, and everything I know about you, you are like my favorite kind of politician in that you remind me of Barack Obama the following way. No, he was always willing to go into what David Plouffe would describe as the belly of the beast, right? You're never, by going and just convincing the people who already agree with you to vote for you when they're probably already going to vote for you is not what gets red districts flipped blue. And so I know that during the Trump impeachment, when you announced that you would be voting for impeachment, you did town halls across Michigan where you opened them up to everybody and were like, come at me.
Yeah.
And you got so much attention for it on cable news and in the media because it was so unusual.
Yeah. You know, I think 2 things about, you know, pushing forward on impeachment of Trump in my first year as a member of Congress in a district that had voted for Trump twice.
Right.
And would go on to vote for him twice. 2 things were important. Number one, you got to be willing to have some red lines on some issues, even if you think it will mean you're not going to be reelected.
Yep.
And I'm so glad I learned that in my first year. It's actually very freeing because I know so many people who just vote to keep themselves in office. And once I understood, okay, I might just be a one-term congresswoman, I'm just going to have to look myself in the mirror and do this. What we found was a lot of Michiganders, at least, would come up to me after I did those 500-person town halls, people heckling and yelling at me and protesting me in the parking lot and all that kind of stuff. Is they're like, look, I didn't really like you and I don't really like your party, but that took guts to do that.
Yep.
And it sort of did what I wasn't expecting, which was, you know, it helped people say, well, look, not everyone is willing to lose their job. And you were, and I got to give you some sort of props for that. So those were important lessons to learn very early my first year of elected office.
So you're now running for Senate. We are so excited about this. Your primary isn't until August, but polls show you and former GOP Congressman Mike Rogers as the likely winners, and polls show a tight contest between the two of you. Rogers is an anti-abortion fraudster who was endorsed by Trump. What do you want voters to know about him?
Well, look, I think it's in some ways, I feel sort of sad about it. We've done bipartisanship events together, you know, on national security issues at local universities and everything. And, but I think what's going on across the country with a lot of folks is even if they were at one point 10 years ago, reasonable, sort of normal Republicans, they have to do these absolute backflips in order to get the Trump endorsement and give up on everything they believed in.
Right.
So I think that that's going on, I think, across the country. And then, you know, I just think that people have records, you know, and particularly on something like abortion, you know, I know the political winds in Michigan have certainly changed so that, you know, we passed a ballot initiative in 2022 to codify Roe on our ballot because we were looking at being a full ban state. And the Republicans in my state basically said, uh-oh, well, it's bad politics to be pro-life now after 20 plus years of being rigidly pro-life and co-sponsoring major pieces of legislation on pro-life issues. They're now trying to duck and cover and say, oh, no, no, like, let the states decide. I never really minded. And it's like, no, man, like, if you had the opportunity to cast that vote one way or another, we know where you stand. And it's not your words, it's your deeds. So that's what I would say for in our race, but in every race, is don't take what they say, look what they do. And it's not just Roe. The other message for a state like Michigan, but across the country is Roe was what they did through the front door.
Yep.
They have 10 other things they're doing through the back door. I just voted on one literally 2 hours ago. Where they're saying no one in the VA health system can even provide basic information on choice to women veterans who come in, and no abortions whatsoever for women who have been raped or the victim of incest. That was today.
That's wild.
So they haven't stopped. They may try to message that, oh, no, no, we're good now, you know, with Roe overturned.
Right.
That's crap. That's crap. Look at what they do, not what they say.
What is your biggest fear of another Trump term, especially as someone who comes from the national security space?
Yeah, I don't know that we'll be the same country again if we have a second term of Trump. American leadership is not always perfect, global leadership, but man, I'll take it more than Chinese leadership or Russian leadership any day of the week. And I think our allies, our partners, our adversaries are looking at another Trump presidency and just saying the America that we knew since World War II as a leader, as a thought leader, as someone who sets the sort of pacing on challenges in the world, dealing with challenges, they're no longer that leader. We're going to go hedge our bets, go talk to others, get some other patrons in here. So that's problematic. But I think inside the country is much more problematic. The divisions between Americans, the weaponization of the government against political adversaries. I was just having a conversation on the floor of the House with a member who is scared that if there's another Trump presidency, Trump will come after them, given their roles in some of the impeachments.
Right.
And so they're like, maybe I should get personal liability insurance.
Shit.
To pay for
my
defense if Trump comes for me. And this is where we get away from democracy as we know it. And we turn into the Putins and the, you know, autocratic regimes that we can't stand.
Right.
And look, we're working with the military right now. I will say, as someone who comes from the national security world, I want to know what our four-star generals will do if Trump wins and he gives them an illegal order, if he asks them to shoot on unarmed protesters, if he asks them to go take over security in the state of Texas because of border issues, you know, things that violate the Constitution.
Right.
What will they do?
And we know, based on everything he has said about General Mark Milley, when he found out about his conversation, sort of calling to China, being like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. We're not going to do anything. And now he's like, he should be charged with treason. And if he's president, that's what he wants to do.
Right.
So, okay, well, thank you for the stark and colorful description of what you think would happen. But here on Hysteria, we do like to end on a lighter note.
Yeah.
Though we did really need to go down that dark place because it's important that we're all reminded of it. But Alyssa, we love Michigan. And if someone is going to Michigan for the first time this summer, what's your favorite spot or what's your favorite Michigan summer treat?
I mean, Michigan in summer is heaven.
Amazing.
No humidity, beautiful weather. We're constantly barbecuing outside. I think if you want a taste of Michigan for the first time, you do Detroit, which is back and amazing. And, you know, we just had the NFL draft. We're opening up our big new Ford headquarters. Like, the momentum is real. Come to one of our great hotels, restaurants, go out, enjoy yourself in a beautiful city, and then probably go up north in Michigan. The Traverse City Cherry Festival.
Yep. Love the cherries.
You know, have a glass of Michigan beer outside looking at one of our million lakes. And the white sand beaches and the Caribbean blue water, and just like wonder why you live where you live and you don't live in Michigan. That's what you should do on your first trip.
Thank you, Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin. I hope you'll come back when you are the nominee in the fall. And when we come back, Sam is back for Sani Petty.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Brian Tyler Cohen, host of the No Lie podcast, which is part of Crooked Media. You've likely seen my videos online or watched me torture Tommy Vitor as part of our series on YouTube. But this week, I've got a really exciting episode. I'm interviewing the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama. So if you want to tune in and hear what he's got to say, including a definitive answer as to whether or not aliens are real, make sure to listen by searching for No Lie with Brian Tyler Cohen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back. Before we get to Sani Petty, some announcements for the class. The Crooked Store's Pride Collection just launched. The Pride or Else Collection has something for every Pride vibe. Whether you're spending the month protesting, spreading queer joy, or being a really good ally by calling out bigots and calling Ubers for your queer friends. There are tons of new pieces, including Friend of the Pride flag merch and new designs for our Leave Trans Kids Alone, You Absolute Freaks collection. Plus, a portion of proceeds from every order go to Crooked's Pride or Else Fund in support of organizations working to provide gender-affirming care and life-saving resources to queer and transgender communities across America. Kick off Pride Month at crooked.com/store. Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast for people who celebrate Pride by only consuming Dolly Parton content for a month. So Sam, Sani Petty, I have a Sani. I'm going to go first.
I love that. Yes.
But it's a little petty.
Okay. Oh.
Okay.
Spicy.
So I love Dolly Parton, and I have been following the country music news that she is doing a tribute album to Tom Petty. It is called, wait for it, Petty Country.
Oh.
A country music celebration of Tom Petty. Some of the first songs dropped, and Sam, I can't even begin to explain. She does a version of Southern accents, right, which is incredible. We have Wynonna and Lainey Wilson doing Refugee, You're So Bad by Steve Earle. I immediately rolled down the windows in my car, turned the volume up, and you know what I wanted, Sam?
What did you want?
I wanted it to be 1992, and I wanted to smoke a Camel Light and just drive and smoke and listen. But I'm an adult now. We don't smoke.
No.
But it is such joy. First of all, I always loved Tom Petty, but the combinations that Dolly has come up with, because she is an icon, it is joy. I encourage everyone, download it. I think there are 6 songs available and the rest come in about a month.
This is so much joy. I agree with you. Tom Petty music is driving my dad's Camaro, like learning how to drive at 17 with a V8 engine in a Batmobile, essentially rolling the windows down and listening to Tom Petty like full time on a cassette tape.
Of course, a cassette tape.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
And then you had to get the pencil out and rewind the cassette tape when all the tape came out.
Of course.
So young people don't understand how resourceful we had to be back in the day.
We did. We were all MacGyver.
We were all MacGyver. Okay, what is your Sani Petty?
Okay, mine is also a Sani because I do think when the world is so chaotic, it's nice to just find those things that bring light into our life. And I learned that scientists have found, or they think that they have identified, a phonetic alphabet in whale songs.
What?
Oh my God. As you know, they've been studying whale language or whale communication forever, but they have been able to feed it into an AI program. I mean, this is an example of a positive use of AI.
Yes.
And they have determined that there is more language there than what we had previously known. And I highly recommend listening to and reading every story you possibly can about this. I think it was sperm whales where they were really able to kind of distinguish all the patterns.
Yep.
And they're trying to interpret it. And I think it's so fascinating. I got to tell you, when I hear a whale song or I think about whales, it's so absolutely corny, but I am ready to walk away from my entire life and go become a marine biologist. It's not, I feel that I've just gone back to like a single vacation that I had in Hawaii one time where I stuck my face under the water and you can just hear them in the water.
You can.
It's unbelievable. And these amazing creatures give me, I don't know what they give me. They give me hope. They give me something. I just go, the world is made of miracles. And I just want to dig in on the things that give me pleasure. And if that means, remember that album in the 70s that was just whale songs?
Of course.
Oh, we all had it.
It was, we all had it. I think mine was on like a little plastic record, like a
little tiny
record. Yeah.
On your little turntable. It's beautiful.
They should have whale songs on the Calm app.
They really should. I think if I was interpreting, I think probably most of the whales are saying, Sam B, come swim with us. Please. please come be with us.
Maybe some of those orcas are like, put Donald Trump on a boat and we'll take care of him.
Send him out to us on a nice flow.
Sam B, thank you so much for joining me this week.
What a damn pleasure this was. I have enjoyed every second of it.
Thanks so much for listening. Sam will be back next week for more Hysteria, and we'll be doing a mailbag. So make sure to email hysteria@crooked.com with any questions for Sam or me. And big thanks to Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin for joining us this week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Fiona Pestana is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Megan Patzel. And thank you to Julia Beach, Awa Okolate, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production support every week.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.